Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It is good to be back here with you once again. I appreciate the invitation of the Bethel Council to who had invited me to be here this morning. A bright light left our world this week. We learned that country music legend Dolly Parton died on Tuesday. I don't know how you felt about Dolly Parton, but I feel like I've known her most of my life. My parents were big country music fans, and so I grew up listening to Dolly Parton in my home. Dolly has always seemed larger than life, and whether you like her music or you don't, there are things about her that I think are inspirational. She always seemed larger than life. She had large rhinestones everywhere. She had big heels that kind of camouflaged how short she was. She had big hair in an era of big hair. And I have to say, I think the foundation for all that glitz and glamour was her big heart. Her big heart is what led her to be the person she was. It was her passion for life and love, love of all people. It didn't matter who you were, what you did. Her ability to see beyond the superficial and her gift of music and poetry to share her love with others. I found her more inspiring the older I got. As tributes poured in on Tuesday and Wednesday, I was struck by a couple of things. Her exterior persona was somewhat made up. Excuse me. Her exterior persona was somewhat made up. I read this week it was based on the town tramp who she thought was the most beautiful woman in town. But she was real and honest and genuine. In her honesty and generosity, she was humble and witty. And she was courageous in loving everyone, even when it wasn't popular to do so. She was beloved by old and young fans. I'm going to get my water. Excuse me. She was supportive of the LGBTQ community very early on. At the beginning of the AIDS crisis, she was supportive. She was supportive to love who you want to love. She was big on love. One of her most famous songs is, "I Will Always Love You." You couldn't help but love her for that. As most of you know, Dolly grew up poor in Appalachia. Her father couldn't read, and she knew the power of education and reading, and she has supplied over 150 million books to children without question of status or whether they deserved it. She didn't ask you to prove your worth. She shipped books to any child in the United States and in Ireland. She helped fund vaccine research with $1 million, which led to the COVID vaccine by Moderna. And so when I stood in line for my very first COVID vaccine and you were given a choice of Moderna or Pfizer, I went with Moderna. And I literally looked at Rich and I said, "I'm doing Moderna because Dolly Parton funded it." It was irrational, and yet it made sense to me in the moment. Dolly didn't work 9 to 5. She worked overtime on love and generosity and kindness, and she lived her faith in God, in how she loved others in song and word and deed. Excuse me. Seems like every time I start talking, I get this frog in my throat. Dolly Parton strikes me as an example of the courageous love that is rare today. While no person is perfect, I think she offers a reflection of the light of Christ shining through her willing spirit. The scripture readings for today, I believe, offer a way to courageous love. The way of discipleship is through courageous love. So the summer readings over, the summer gospel readings over the last 3 months have really focused on Matthew's gospel and what it means to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus. Now, Matthew wrote his gospel story with a couple of points in mind, I believe. One question that Matthew seemed to strive to answer is, who is Jesus? And what was his purpose? And he answers that in the very first chapter, the first sentence of the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus is Messiah, Son of God. He's the descendant of many. If you recall, that first chapter includes his whole genealogy. He's the descendant of many. And the other question that seems to be summed up in Matthew's gospel is, what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? And Matthew's gospel lays that out, story after story, parable after parable. And so I believe it leads to the question, what are we called to do and to be as followers of Jesus? And so as we look at today's reading, we see the stakes are higher. Jesus said that following him means following him to the cross. Now, this seems pretty radical and very scary. What does this text actually mean? What does it mean for us today here in Cupertino in 2026? Why would anybody want to do that? So I'll start with last week's gospel. I wasn't here, but I'm pretty sure I know that it was read and preached on. The gospel reading included Peter's profession of faith. Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Now, there are some responses. Jesus' response has an interesting wordplay that plays into today's reading as well. So, Simon Peter's name, Simon is the Hebrew name, it means he hears, and Jesus renamed him Cephas, Peter, and in Peter, in Greek, the word Peter means stone. That word play shows up in three different ways, and it's significant to how we understand and hear this. So you'll recall a couple of weeks ago when I was here, we talked about how Peter saw Jesus walking on the water, and all of a sudden, he realized what he was doing, and he started to sink like a rock into the water when he tried to walk on water because his faith was not yet strong enough. So in the gospel reading from last week, Jesus said, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." Now here's the word play. I think it's funny. So in Greek, it might sound like this. "You are Petros, and on this Petra, I will build my church." Now, what is Petros? You are Petros. You are like loose gravel in the shoe, is what that means. But on this Petra, which is like the El Capitan of solid faith, or the cornerstone of a building, or the cornerstone of faith, on this Petra, I will build my church. So you're like loose gravel, but I'm going to build my church on your solid foundation of faith. Hang on to that. I'll come back to that. So this is the solid foundation for us as well. It's not about an institution or a building. Yeah, I know they built St. Peter's Cathedral in Rome, and it's not about a building. It's not an institution. It's the faith. It's Peter's faith. It was weak, but it grew stronger and it has inspired us for 2,000 years. So, names have meaning, and especially did in the first century. And so that continues on. So, five verses later, we have today's story. Jesus begins to teach his disciples what it means to be a follower of Jesus. He says he must go to Jerusalem, suffer and die and be raised up again. And Peter is like, "Nope, nope, nope, nope. That's not the kind of Messiah we signed up for." He protests, but he doesn't do it publicly. He takes Jesus aside and said, "This must never happen to you." And Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block." Now, in the translation we heard today, the more recent translation is hindrance. It doesn't do justice to the actual word. The word in Greek is skandalon. A skandalon is like a scandal. It's a tripping stone. So now Peter went from being loose gravel to the solid foundation to now he's a tripping stone. He's a stumbling block that you trip over when you're hiking. So Jesus said, he says, "Get behind me, Satan," which means adversary. You're being a pest and a tripping stone. And so now Peter is being seen as a rock to trip over. My goodness, this poor man, in just a few verses. And so part of the problem here is Peter had the wrong idea about what it meant to be a Messiah. He thought the Messiah was going to come in and overthrow the Roman government, mine for a kingdom. And that's not what Jesus came to do. So Jesus once again realizes that his beloved Peter still doesn't get it. And so Peter is more like the pebble in the shoe or a tripping stone than a firm foundation of faith. But Jesus knows he'll get there. And Peter doesn't want to believe that the path to the Messiah of the Messiah includes death. So this is a turning point in the gospel. This is the point where everything else points to Jerusalem. The next chapter includes the transfiguration, which we heard back in February. Jesus knows his path includes suffering and death, and he says that anyone who follows him must be willing to take up the cross. Isn't that enough to make anyone wonder why you'd want to be a Christian? I know, go ahead, it's fine to nod. So how do we make sense out of this today, Cupertino 2026? What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus today? Well, first, the cross is a symbol of sacrificial love. The length that God will go to show courageous love. And it means that following Jesus even to the cross means meeting hate with courageous love. I think that's what Dolly excelled at. Following Jesus to the cross means that wherever we go, Jesus has gone before us. He's done this. He's been there. And he meets us at the cross in our moments of deepest suffering and grief. And Jesus meets us with deepest love. No matter what our situation, no matter our circumstances, now we may not be persecuted like Matthew's community, but we still have difficult times. We all do. That's just what life is. Sometimes we have loose gravel in our shoes, and sometimes we're like loose gravel, and we trip over stones. But we have the community as the strong foundation of faith that we come together. So Jesus, who faced the cross with courageous love and conviction, walks alongside of us as well through the community. And I have to say, you all know this, on the other side of the cross is the empty tomb and new life. We're resurrection people. Every Sunday is a celebration of the resurrection. And so Jesus tells his disciples that there are some who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. On the other side of the resurrection is the kingdom of God, present in our midst now, today. The people who traveled with Jesus saw his kingdom on earth after the resurrection. The kingdom of God is present in the waters of baptism. Most of you are baptized people. In the waters of baptism. The kingdom is present in the bread and wine. The kingdom is present in the word proclaimed and in the community gathered. The kingdom is present with all those who work to continue to bring in the kingdom through courageous love. We are resurrection people. And that allows us to experience the kingdom of God now, here, The cruelty of the cross has been redefined, and we get to continue to redefine it. The other thing I'd like to say is that faith is more than the right confession of faith or following purity laws. It's how one lives one's life. Does it make a difference in the world and in our lives? That I believe. So Peter said, yeah, I believe, but what difference does it make? That we believe. So Jesus said that followers will actually follow by taking up one's cross, and followers of Jesus walk with those who suffer. We are accompanying those who need accompaniment. And so true life is found in faithfulness to Christ and in his teaching to love. Love God, love one another. By living out our faith in a sacrificial way will lead to real life. It's not how much cryptocurrency you get. It's not how tough you look. It's how you live. And so I think this is where Paul's letter to the Romans offers us some great insight on the shape of Christian life. Now, this isn't a new set of laws to replace other laws. It's a description of life transformed by the Holy Spirit, a life of baptism. It's a life of courageous faithfulness and love. And so the way of discipleship is courageous love. Living out our faith sacrificially looks like the words that Sharon read to us this morning from Romans. Paul writes, "Let love be genuine, hate what is evil. Love one another, show honor, rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the believers and extend hospitality to all. Bless those who persecute you. Live in harmony. Associate with the lowly." Dolly Parton knew that. "Live peaceably with all. Feed your enemies and give them something to drink. Overcome evil with good." This is the way of the cross. This is cross-shaped life. And the way of following Jesus so that it makes a difference in the world. And I think this is, you know, I was reading a blog this week, or not a blog, a Facebook group of clergy saying, y'all are preaching about Dolly and Romans this week, right? I'd already decided that, but yes. And so Dolly seems to have lived her life by the words that we heard Paul write to the Romans. As I said earlier, she might have been petite in stature, but she was a giant in courageous love. She brought hope with music, such as the song, "The Light of the Clear Blue Morning," after a long dark night. Some of you may know her song, "Coat of Many Colors." It was a reminder that poverty isn't a reason to belittle people. Her coat was a reminder that Joseph of Genesis had a multicolored coat. He was a dreamer too, and he dreamed big dreams, and God was with him and worked through him, and God was with her too. Her coat was stitched with her mother's love and blessed with her mother's kiss. It redefined a coat made out of rags. She sang, one is poor only if they choose to be. Dolly didn't choose to be poor. And she didn't let it define her. Paul reminds us to associate with the lowly and not claim to be wiser than we are. Dolly once said, the smartest man she knew was her daddy, but he couldn't read. So she started giving books to children and investing in education in Tennessee, making sure that the dropout rate went from 35% to less than 6%, and started creating her imagination library. So over 150 million books have been sent to children. She funded schools, black schools, so that they could afford band uniforms. She wanted to make sure nobody would have to grow up like her daddy and couldn't read. Paul writes, "Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay.'" We hear a lot about vengeance and revenge today. The scripture calls us to forgive and work for a system that holds people accountable for their misdeeds. Vengeance and blame destroy communities. Forgiveness and accountability heals communities. Dolly had a quote for this too. Dolly said, "I keep saying, well, if you're the fine Christian you think you are, why are you judging people? That's God's job. We're not God. We're not judges. We're supposed to love each other. We're supposed to not judge, and we're not supposed to take vengeance on other people. That's God's job." And I say, well said, Dolly. She knew her Bible well. We forgive because we have been forgiven. But forgiveness is not the same as accountability. And so the only thing that I would add to this is it's important to have a system of governance that holds people accountable when there are misdeeds. This is healthy boundaries, not a system of purity laws, but it's about healthy boundaries that the community might be healthy. This is what it means to be a follower of Jesus. This is what it means to follow Jesus to the cross. And it goes back to the first and second commandments. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. The law and the prophets' words are summed up in these two commandments. And this is courageous love. So here's the good news. The way of the cross leads to the empty tomb, and there's new life now and forever for those who follow Jesus' command to love God and love our neighbor. Following Jesus means Jesus has gone before us, and Jesus will meet us there in our places of deepest need. Following Jesus means living out our faith by loving God more than anything and loving our neighbor as ourselves. Dolly Parton taught the world courageous love that went well beyond 9 to 5. One of her biggest songs, "I Will Always Love You," describes a love that never ends, even when it gets rough. And that's what Jesus offers. A love that not even hatred, persecution, or death will destroy, the kind of love that never ends. Christ enacts and embodies God's "I will always love you." If I could sing like Mary, I'd sing it, but I can't. Not my gift. But if that isn't enough, Jesus shows us how to enact and embody that love that never dies. Paul does the same. There are ways that each of us are called and claimed and equipped by the Holy Spirit to enact that courageous love with one another. So may you know the kind of courageous love of Jesus and Dolly Parton. And may you continue your faith with courageous love. And may you always know that you are beloved children of God who will always love you. Amen.